总统否决国防授权法。特朗普总统建议提高纾困金，众议院议长赞同。美国国土安全部警告，中国企业数据服务存在安全风险。12月24号星期四，欢迎收看美国观察，我是卡拉。特朗普总统否决了2021年度国防授权法。另外，特朗普总统认为国会通过的新冠疫情经济纾困方案金额不足，建议给每人至少2000美金。美国国会议长佩洛西赞同，并呼吁总统对国会两院当中的共和党施压，在圣诞节前夕通过更高金额的纾困法案。详细情况请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
是美国国会呢两党通过的2021财政年度国防授权法在12月13号送交到了白宫，所以呢12月23号就是特朗普总统要决定签署或是否决的一个期限。那么就在这个23号星期三的这个下午3点多呢，白宫突然发出了声明，表示特朗普总统已经否决了国防授权法。那么在声明当中呢，特朗普总统是这样说的，他说呢，不幸的是这份法案没有包括关键的国家安全手段，包括尊敬我们的退伍军人和军队的历史，并且抵触了我的政府在国家安全和外交政策行动方面要美国优先的方针。这个法案是给中国以及俄罗斯的礼物。那我们知道呢，这一份国防授权法当中其实包括了多项吓阻中国、支持台湾以及捍卫香港的法条，包括了太平洋威慑计划，那么也规定了美军不得使用包括像华为、中兴等中国电信产品，并且呢也要加强美台之间的军事交流以及对台军售。那么呢，这个美国国会的现在国会议员们已经表示呢，当时这个法案呢是以超过2/3的绝对多数而通过的，所以呢将会在国会，很多国会已经在回家过他们的耶诞假期了。那么在回来之后呢，他们将会再一次的进行表决，再次的来通过国防授权法，来让白宫接受。那么此外呢，在这个过去的几周，美国国会两党呢也试图要就这个新冠疫情的经济纾困方案达成共识。拜登呢则是呼吁国会的这个民主党人接受金额较小的这个纾困金额，并且说呢这份法案只会是未来来对抗疫情并且振兴经济的一个头期款。之后呢，美国的参众两院在本星期稍早已经通过了经济纾困法案，并且送交白宫。不过特朗普总统呢在星期二的晚上突然从白宫透过视频发表讲话，说呢，给每一个美国人600美元实在太少了，应该要发到至少2000美元。那么对此呢，美国国会议长佩洛西马上就表示赞同。那么星期三呢，佩洛西还敦促特朗普要施压国会的共和党人来再达成这个法案。那详细的情况呢，我们先来看一则美国之音的电视报道。
美国总统特朗普周二拒绝了由国会两党共同达成的9000亿美元的新一轮新冠纾困法案，称该法案不光彩，并要求国会将对美国人的现金救济款增加3倍以上。虽然特朗普总统没有明确表示将否决这项周一在国会两院以压倒性多数通过的法案，但他说目前不会接受这项立法。
I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000 or $4,000 for a couple.I'm also asking Congress to immediately get rid of the wasteful and unnecessary items from this legislation and to send me a suitable bill, or else the next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package, and maybe that administration will be me, and we will get it done.
特朗普还批评在这项法案中用在抗击新冠疫情上的支出并不多，却有很多款项流向国外。
Congress found plenty of money for foreign countries, lobbyists, and special interests while sending the bare minimum to the American people who need it. It wasn't their fault. It was China's fault, not their fault.
美国当选总统拜登也在周二发表讲话，表达了对疫情中遭受困难的美国家庭的同情，并称赞国会通过的疫情纾困法案，并呼吁出台下一轮经济刺激措施。
Leaders in both House and Senate, both parties, deserve credit for making the hard compromises to get this done. But like all compromises, it's far from perfect. But it does provide vital relief at a critical moment. However, as I've said all along, this bill is just the first step, a down payment in addressing the crisis, the crises, more than one that we're in.
美国众议院议长佩洛西在一条推文中称，是共和党人一直拒绝明确提出特朗普希望的解困金额。他表示，既然总统已同意$2,000的额度，民主党人已准备好在本周一致通过这一提案。他还呼吁，让我们着手去做吧。美国之音新闻报道。
那美国国会议长佩洛西呢，在星期三上午更是直接点名两位国会的共和党领导人，分别是参议院当中的多数党领袖麦康奈尔以及众议院的少数党领袖麦卡锡众议员，还敦促特朗普总统呢对这两位共和党人施加压力，让他们能够赶快来通过这个法案。那么在推文当中，佩洛西说，总统先生签署法案让政府持续运作，敦促麦康奈尔参议员以及麦卡锡众议员同意民主党一致的共识，给美国人$2,000的直接纾困金，这可以在耶诞节前夕的中午就办到。那我们知道呢，现在已经是美国时间星期三的晚上了，距离星期四的中午呢只剩下半天的时间了。那么奥瑞冈州民主党的参议员呢杰夫默克里星期三的中午也在推特上表示，他乐见特朗普总统在提供受苦家庭更高纾困金方面拥抱民主党的立场，他将会100%的配合。那目前呢，我们还没有看到被佩洛西点名这两位的共和党的议员做出回应。那么特朗普总统呢，则是在星期三的下午4点就已经离开了白宫，前往位于佛罗里达州的海湖庄园进行他的耶诞节的度假。不过呢，如果国会通过法案的话呢，根据这个总统呢，他通常的做法呢，他在海湖庄园也是可以签署法案的。卡拉，
好的，感谢耀毅发自白宫的报道。特朗普总统12月22号星期二公布了一份20人的赦免名单，其中包括2名因调查俄罗斯大选而被定罪的人和3名前共和党议员。民主党总统当选人拜登针对美国机构长达几个月遭受网络攻击破坏，对特朗普政府提出批评。来看美国之音的报道。
美国总统特朗普任期即将结束，他于12月22日星期二公布了一份多达20人的赦免名单，其中包括在俄罗斯调查中被定罪的人和因金融犯罪而被定罪的3名前共和党议员。2016年总统大选，特朗普竞选顾问乔治·帕帕多普洛斯获得完全赦免，他因为特别检察官罗伯特·穆勒调查特朗普政府与俄罗斯关系时发现的行为而被定罪。白宫为赦免辩护，称这有助于纠正穆勒团队造成的错误。律师亚历克斯·范德·兹瓦恩也在被特赦的名单之列。在穆勒调查期间，他因为向调查人员撒谎而被判刑，他与帕帕多普洛斯两人曾短暂入狱服刑。赦免名单上的3位前共和党议员被裁定犯有的罪行包括证券欺诈以及滥用竞选资金。与奥巴马在其8年任期内共发出了212次赦免和1715次的减刑相比，特朗普的赦免案并不多，但是在民主党总统当选人拜登上任之前，可能还会有其他的赦免案例。民主党总统当选人拜登在获悉美国机构长达几个月遭受网络攻击破坏之后，于星期二对即将离任的特朗普总统提出批评。拜登誓言要用同样的方式回应这些网络攻击，而美国国务卿庞培奥和司法部长巴尔等官员已经将俄罗斯列为这个始于2020年3月的网络攻击的主嫌。
And there's still so much we don't know, including the full scope of the breach or the extent of the damage it has caused. But we know this much. This attack constitutes a grave risk to our national security. It was carefully planned and carefully orchestrated. It was carried out by using sophisticated cyber tools. It certainly fits Russia's long history of reckless, disruptive cyber activities.But the Trump administration needs to make an official attribution.
在继续组织未来政府期间，拜登表明要聘请专家担任领导职务，以改善美国的网络防御，并制定一套国际网络安全规则，使各国能够遵守。
We have to bring along our allies and our friends, so we hold everyone accountable who breaches any of these basic fundamental rules. And lastly, I believe that. When I learn
the extent of the damage, and in fact who is formally responsible, they can be assured that we will respond, and probably respond in kind. There's many options which I will not discuss now.
另外，加州州长纽森在周二表示，他将任命亚历克斯·帕迪拉填补副总统当选人卡马拉·哈里斯在美国参议院剩下的任期。加州州务卿帕迪拉是墨西哥移民的儿子，毕业于麻省理工学院，他将成为首位代表加州的拉美裔联邦参议员。帕迪拉在得知这个消息的时候喜极而泣。
Can you imagine what the mom would be thinking now as I ask you if you want to be the next U.S. Senator of the United States, the great state of California?
You serious?
This is the official, this is the ask, brother.
I'm honored, man, and I'm humbled because of them. I can't tell you how many pancakes my dad flipped or eggs he scrambled trying to provide for us or in the many, many years of my mom cleaning houses doing the same thing.
美国之音新闻报道。
美国两名重量级议员联名敦促特朗普政府加强上星期刚刚颁布的新规定，严防中国最大的芯片制造商中芯国际获得美国的先进技术。美国国会参议员卢比奥和众议员麦考尔星期二联名致函美国商务部长罗斯，要求加强对中芯国际的限制。卢比奥参议员现任美国国会与行政当局中国委员会共同主席，麦考尔众议员则是众议院共和党议员中国工作组主席。两位议员表示，美国商务部的实体名单指定不够严格，应该重写以填补危险的漏洞，而这些漏洞使得几乎所有像中芯国际的产品销售都能够不受限制地继续下去。美国国土安全部星期二发布建议，警告美国企业使用与中国有关公司的通信设备和服务可能带来数据安全上的风险。这篇建议说，中国严重威胁美国政府和企业的数据安全，通过受中国法律影响或管辖的实体直接秘密获得数据，同时没有征得持有数据权利的非中国企业或机构的同意。国土安全部代理部长沃尔夫说，长期以来，美国的网络和数据一直受到来自中国的威胁，并以此让中国企业获得全球市场上不公平的竞争优势。建议还指出，与中国公司有业务往来的美国公司应该减少在中国储存数据，并采取措施保护知识产权，也应该审查业务关系，并加强服务协议条款。来自中国深圳的大疆创新在民用无人机行业独占鳌头，在美国的市场占有率达到77%。不过情况最近出现了变化，中国制无人机带来的安全隐患引发越来越多的关注。2020年国防授权法案已经禁止美国政府部门使用或采购中国制造的无人机系统。来看报道。
So a small drone is very affordable for most folks. That's really the case that I see, at least with DJI, is that with government subsidizing, DJI really got out front quite quickly and developed their products much quicker than anybody else really had a chance to do.The biggest piece is I'm going to take that mobile device that I'm using to fly my drone, but then I'm also going to connect that back to my government network. And that's where the cybersecurity issue comes from.
And by law, the CCP mandates that any company has to divulge, give every bit of that data to the Chinese government. And so for us to believe that data is not being used in a nefarious way is going back to the rattlesnake analogy. You're trying to stick your hand in the sand and avoid it. And so what we are doing right now and what the government is looking at doing is how does DJI play in the big scheme of things? And are they a nefarious actor? if DJI is in fact directly tied to the actions against the Uyghurs, we can make that linkage and actually put them on the entities list. And that would have a much bigger impact on their ability to sell products in the United States and their ability to actually work in and around the commerce faculties of the United States.
We're finding that our customers want two things. They want a drone that provides high levels of autonomy. It's got to fly itself. And they want drones that provide high levels of security. I want to know where my data goes and where it doesn't go. Skydio checks both of those boxes, and Chinese incumbent manufacturers do not.
美国前总统巴拉克·奥巴马在他的回忆录中讲述了在任职初期对中国的一些看法。他称中国前主席胡锦涛让人打瞌睡，但对前总理温家宝印象不错。他认为中国政府帮助上亿人摆脱贫困是伟大的人类成就，同时也指责中国利用全球贸易体系损害了美国工人的利益。
don't always agree. And Biden plays the role of being a cautionary voice in the room and often says, well, you know, that really might not be a good idea.
Just that he felt Biden could step into the presidency if necessary. He also highlights many moments in which Obama himself is being pressured by his generals, perhaps, to expand, overseas troop presences. And Biden is one who always warns him to not let himself, succumb to those pressures. And so I found that interesting because it suggests Biden is a skeptic of military leadership trying to, increase international troop presences in other countries, for instance, and that, you know, it will be interesting to see how that plays out in his own administration.
It's more like a long conversation with a powerful person in which that powerful person tells you why they did something, but then kind of walks through some of the other things they might have done, and they could have done this or they could have done that.
There could have been a more personal and intimate sort of feeling to this book that is lacking. I think he focuses a lot on particular policy debates and legislation he was trying to see through and foreign policy issues. But when the book is so long, you kind of want him to move along already and get past that.
And I think that among presidents, it's hard to think of very many who have written as well as Obama.
I think Obama is one of the few presidents who could have really made a living as a writer if he hadn't been a politician.
加利福尼亚州预计在12月将收到200多万剂新冠病毒疫苗，足以为该州半数医护人员接种。来看美国之音记者巴格达塞尔扬的报道。
这个假日记得一切都很不一样，用口罩取代装饰品，一卷厕纸取代一颗星星。对洛杉矶的这家护理机构的员工来说，这是一株值得纪念的圣诞树，而他们期望获得的最佳礼物是新冠疫苗。加利福尼亚州12月预计收到200多万剂，第一批疫苗接种者将是医护人员和养护机构的居民。不过，有些人对接种仍有疑虑。
I hear both sides and I hear a lot of opinions. So I actually made a comment this morning to my staff. I said, let's respect each other's decisions when the vaccination comes because we are not going to make it mandatory.
当疫苗抵达时，靠着养老金生活的拉丽莎万扬表示，她乐意接种。她说，她相信科学。
I am ready to do anything. Of course, I'll get vaccinated. What am I to be afraid of?
但是，护理机构的居民并不都像万扬那么乐观，有些人对疫苗的安全性半信半疑。
If it's possible to not get this vaccine, I would prefer not to. I'm not young, you know, maybe I won't take it well. Anything can happen, it hasn't really been tested yet.
戴维·史密斯是加州大学圣迭戈分校医学教授和病毒专家，他计划接种疫苗，但是他也看到阻力，尤其是在年轻人当中。辉瑞疫苗已经开始运往美国各地。
Looks like it works very well for coronavirus, can protect people up to 90% of the time. And then the risks we know at the very beginning looks to be very safe. Some people will definitely get some fever and some fatigue and some arm pain when they get the vaccine, but all of that goes away. And that's not really a major risk, that's just getting a shot.The long-term risks, we still don't know.
而这恰恰吓到了一些美国人，像是何塞·路易斯·佩雷斯这样的卫生工作者说， 他亲眼见过新冠患者，他相信感染病毒会危险得多。
Too many people dying right now, and if we don't do anything about this invisible war that we're fighting as human beings, I think the next generation that is coming, it won't have a chance like we did.
到2020年底，加利福尼亚州将收到大约250万剂新冠疫苗。随着各州得到更多的剂量，详细的疫苗接种计划也将制定出来。美国之音记者巴格达·萨尔扬，洛杉矶报道。
随着冬季和假日季节的到来，不少因疫情而失去生计的人群面临着经济和生活上的困难。不过在全美各地，慈善机构和非营利组织都正在行动，向有需要的人伸出援手。
新冠病毒大流行持续冲击着美国的经济，十一月的失业率高达6.7%，约为疫情前的两倍。随着冬季还有假日季节的到来，不少因疫情而失去生计的人群面临经济还有生活上的困难。不过在全美各地，慈善机构还有非营利组织都在行动，向有需要的人们伸出援手。
We have a 35-pound box full of meat, dairy and produce.
美国农业部的农户到家庭项目的志愿者向来自俄亥俄州雅典市附近的阿拉巴契亚农村社区的人们分发食品，其中一些领取救济的人从西弗吉尼亚州赶来。该项目在不到5个小时的时间内分发了2000箱食物。前来领取食物的人数如此之多，以至于他们不得不限制每辆车只能领取1箱食物，不论家庭人口有多少。
Even now in December, we're still only partially reopened, and so farmers and ranchers are finding it hard and difficult to actually get their product to market.So that's where the USDA came in to help these farmers and ranchers by purchasing their products, their produce, and get them to the community to give out for free.
在加利福尼亚州的康科德市，单身母亲阿雷达·莱米雷兹在大流行病初期就失去了在餐厅的工作，并且需要全职照顾女儿。阿雷达还有公寓里的其他单身母亲组织起来，向房东寻求帮助。
At the beginning, I was okay, like the month of August and September. And then October came in, and I was like, I can't. I have to choose what do I cover? Is it food or rent?
同样是单身母亲，居住在纽约萨尔瓦多的玛丽索·冈萨雷斯也在寻求食品仓库的帮助。她今年失去了按摩师的工作，被迫搬家，在公用的公寓里租住一个房间。为了维持生计，她每个月去一次公益食品仓库。
Que yo tengo 7 meses de venir a buscar ayuda de alimentos porque perdí mi trabajo a causa de la pandemia y pues esto me ayuda mucho pero gracias a Dios que tenemos estas frutas y alimentos que podemos comer y pues nos ayudan para sobrevivir la semana siquiera
美国国会在周日晚间通过了$9,000亿的第二轮新冠疫情经济刺激计划，将为大多数美国人提供每周$300的临时性失业补助金，还有$600的直接经济刺激金，同时为遭受重创的企业提供新一轮的补贴，并且为学校、医疗保健提供者，还有面临驱逐的租房者提供资金。
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天再见。